Welcome to a Sunny Side Up Life podcast, a show for the woman who is ready to live an abundant life full of freedom and positivity. I'm Sammy Womack, and I'm on a mission to help you break free from survival mode, gain financial freedom, stay motivated, and focus on what matters most. Join the movement, and let's start living on the brighter side of life together. All right, guys, welcome back to another episode. This is my very first interview, and so I'm super excited to have my friend Allie here as my first interview, because I knew I would probably be a little awkward doing an interview, so she's gonna bear with me here, learning how to get my interview skills down. So, Allie, I'll have you go ahead and introduce yourself, and then we're gonna talk about your book in just a minute.
Sounds good. Thank you for having me as your first guest, because once you told me forever ago that you were having a podcast, that was like, I was so excited to be on it. So I'm Allie. I have a blog called Financially Focused, and I recently published my first book called Not Another Money Statistic, Lessons We Wish We Learned in High School. I also work full-time for a Fortune 500 company handling international trade. And I'm getting my MBA, but I actually just applied for graduation. So I graduate this December. So I am very excited to be done with that and have one thing off my plate, since I recently got engaged and trying to plan a wedding and write my next book and deal with my blog and everything else. So it's been hectic, but exciting.
Yeah, you're just a little bit busy. Yeah, like, just a smidgen.
Yeah, August has been extremely hectic. So
yes, like, yes, but good kind of crazy. Yeah,
exactly. Crazy, but good.
Yes. Okay, so I want to hear a little bit about the book, and I've read it, and thank you guys for sending it to me. It was so awesome. And I'm going to share in a minute some of my favorite takeaways, but if you just want to introduce the book a little bit, and then we'll dig kind of more into what it's about.
Yeah. So this is the first of three books. It will kind of be like they kind of build on each other. So the first one that we'll be talking about is Not Another Money Statistic, Lessons We Wish We Learned in High School. So it's geared towards high school students or parents of high school students, or even teachers, or to be honest, even beginning budgeters. It kind of just goes over like the basic money tools and things you need to know. And as black and white as we could have made it, we're not trying to be, you know, a specific financial guru or push ideas on anyone. It was strictly, we thought that there was a need for high school students to know these things, or even middle school students, just as early as possible, to try to prevent financial mistakes instead of fixing them. Because as we both know, in the personal finance kind of realm, especially with blogs, everyone's trying to get out of, you know, the money mistakes they made and trying to pay off debt and save money and prepare for retirement. And so if you set the foundation, you know, in middle school or high school, then it's things that these kids can start thinking about from an earlier age. So like, what is a budget? What is debt? How to save, how to find a job, how to apply for scholarships so that maybe you don't take out as much student loans. But if you do take out student loans, at least you understand kind of what you're signing up for. So that's kind of the basics of the book. We try to keep it as short and sweet as possible, because obviously, you know, 15, 16, 17 year olds don't want to read about, you know, personal finance. So it's, you know, about 100 pages, a little bit less. We put some take action items throughout each chapter so that they can kind of stop and reflect, talk to their parents, or if the parent's reading it along, you know, it kind of gives those talking points so it's less like awkward conversation. And then we have the checklist in the back that if you don't want to read the whole book again, which it's a very easy read, but if you didn't want to read it, you can kind of refer to the back, just hit those main points. And then also, you know, resources that we use and kind of how to find out more information about the future books that we'll write.
Right. And I love what you said about setting a good foundation, and kind of, it's kind of that preventative medicine in the budgeting world. And I think so many people in our generation, and maybe even a little bit older generation, like, we are we were taught, like, the money world is just different than it was for our parents, I feel like. Definitely. And it's not like our parents, I feel like in most cases, which you talk about how you were raised with money a little bit in the book as well. And I feel like a lot of our parents meant really well in most cases. I mean, most parents don't set their kids up for failure on purpose. Yeah. But the money world is changing, and the whole, like, the student loan crisis and the credit card debt crisis, it's really getting out of hand. And I think our generation is really taking the heat on most of it. Like, we're learning, I think, the lessons the hardest. Right. Like, my parents had credit card debt, but it was nothing compared to what is normal in our generation. Right. And, you know, and my parents didn't know anything about student loans, and, like, that just wasn't part of their world. So they didn't even really know to teach us about that kind of stuff. So I just think about people who are, you know, raising teenagers right now, or even beginning budgeters. I think it's still a good read, even if you're in your 20s or so, or even in your 30s and you're still just beginning. I think this could still be a really good read, and it's a super cheap book. So it's not like, you know, you're not charging them a fortune.
No, we wanted to keep it obviously reasonable.
Yeah.
If you're learning this, you know, it was reasonably priced, and it's definitely right. Not going to cost an arm and a leg to get it.
Yeah. And for me, even, I mean, obviously, like, my kids are still really young, but I am totally planning to just kind of stick this book away and keep it for when they get, you know, maybe, I don't know, 12, 13, right. Some, you know, I mean, June's already, like, learning her money skills and stuff. She's a little entrepreneur, but, you know, I feel like as soon as they're mature enough for this kind of stuff, I would totally use it as a homeschool book. Cause I love, like, the take action steps, and it's just like a mini, I feel like you can make a couple of weeks worth of curriculum out of it, and it would be really fun for a homeschool. So any homeschooling parents out there, like, this is a really good little cheap resource that could help with that. I'm really curious why this topic. Like, obviously, there are so many financial gurus. There are so many financial books, especially book. I mean, I feel like there's an endless supply of financial books. So why this topic?
Yeah, I mean, I've probably read, like, 15 at least different books, like, on personal finance, you know, ranging from budgeting to investing to just normal, you know, savings to general overview. So, I mean, I've definitely read a ton, and I've learned a lot. Some of it, obviously, once you read like 10, starts to get pretty.
Yeah.
But we just felt like there wasn't a resource out there geared towards kids in, like, a way that was, one, honest, two, like, very conversational. Like, we have personal stories in there. The examples are geared towards high school students. So it's not over their head. They're not like, this doesn't affect me, so I don't care.
It's in their terminology, right? Like, that's what I like. It's like, okay, I know, like, one quote, something about put your phone down for a minute or something and, like, read this book. It's it's all young and hip and, like.
I try to, you know, stay with the lingo, but from all the books I've read, of course there are books probably similar that, you know, go through finance for kids, but we felt that this hits all the main points. You know, it hits all the chapters. It also includes things that aren't necessarily personal finance, like finding a job, keeping a job, tips for, like, how to dress, you know, just life tips as well, because it all is connected. You know, you need a job to make money, but if you can't keep your job, then how are you saving? How are you paying for things? So we just kind of took everything that we've learned, you know, over the years, and kind of just, like, okay, if we were in high school again, or we were talking to a high school student, what do we want to tell them? And, you know, as easy to read with some, you know, breaks where we do the take action. So, like, we have a basic budget in there. We have a few, like, calculations just to get their minds thinking, like, oh, okay, that's how this relates to me. So there's a ton of books, but I think a lot of the books are geared towards, like, you're already in a ton of debt, so this is versus let's avoid that debt, and let's actually learn what debt is and how to stay out of it. Let's learn what a credit card is and how to not get credit card debt. Let's learn what student loans are and what the difference between different types of student loans are to try to avoid taking out too many student loans, or how to avoid student loan debt, you know, overall. So we just kind of felt that there was like that gap in the, mm-hmm. the personal finance book industry. And so this is a cheap, easy tool for parents, kids to just read and even refer back to. I mean, it's so thin, like you can put this somewhere and it's not like it's taking up a ton of, you know, space.
So yeah.
It's just even what to do with your first paycheck. Like I remember getting my first paycheck and when I had to pay, when I, you know, they took out for taxes and I was like, what happened to my money? And where did it go? Like just things like that you aren't taught, or parents don't even think like to go over. It's not that they don't want to, it just doesn't cross their mind. Like, oh, let me explain like how to act on your first day of work, or let me explain what your taxes are going to be, you know.
And I think it's even like coming from someone other than your parent sometimes is really helpful, especially if you have a kid, you know, that is prone to not listening to their parent. You know, you gotta throw this book at him and like, here, you know, hey, this, I'm not the only one who says this. And plus I think it's just, there's not a lot of conversation coming from younger people. Like you don't want to hear someone who is like your grandparents' age, you know, kind of preaching to you, and you're like, old person, you don't know what I'm talking about. Yeah. And so I think that the fact that it was, you know, you and Shelly are so young and like it's so recent for you guys, you know? So I think that that's really like just a fresh kind of perspective and, you know, so I think that it's a really great book in general. But what are some of just two or three of like, what are your favorite parts of the book? What was the most fun to write, or what are you most proud of?
I think it was fun to write because we wrote it so conversationally that I feel like I could like read it out loud and not bore myself. Like, you know, it's not like there's stories in there. And our biggest thing is you can't tell who wrote what chapter. And that was
exactly.
Is like we wanted it to be one voice. We wrote as one author. We didn't want it to be like very split. So when we went through it, I mean, we are similar just because we've been friends for, gosh, I don't even know how many years now. 2009. So whatever.
Yeah.
So we wrote it. You know, we do have similar voices, but I think the most fun part was kind of putting together those take action parts, because those I think kind of get either the parent or the child to just stop and apply it. Like we have one in there for calculating credit card payments. So like if you have a TV, for example, that's like, you know, $1,000 and you're like, okay, I'll just put it on my credit card. But then, you know, you end up paying way more if you just pay your minimum, because you're like, oh, I can pay $20 a month on this $1,000 TV. And then, you know, 3 months later, you realize you're paying way more, you know, than you would have if you just paid for the TV outright. And then you could have bought a more expensive TV if you just paid cash, or, you know, paid off your credit card right away. So just those little things in there kind of just get those like light bulb moments for people, like, oh, okay, like, yeah, I get that now. Because when you throw terms at people, sometimes they just are like, I don't know what you're saying. Or it goes over their head. So we tried to make sure that there's examples in there, like try this yourself and see, like you do it yourself and you get the results, because we don't want to push anything on anyone. It really is as black and white as we could make it. Like, here are definitions, here are facts, here are things that we learned and did, but take what you want from it and either take it or leave it. We're not going to tell you what you should or shouldn't do, because personal finance is personal. And you know, we both talk about that on our blogs, but like, it shouldn't be one person's way or no way. It should be take little parts from each, even if you take three things from this book and that's it, and you never look at it again, that's great, because you learned something. So take things from different people. And I think just how concise we made it. I mean, obviously we could have rambled on and on and on and on about like each chapter. But like I said, no one in middle school or high school wants to read 50 pages on credit scores or 50 pages on how to create a budget. And if you do, you can gladly, there's resources, you know,
reach
out to Sammy if you really want to learn more about, you know, a certain thing. And you can provide links to, but the whole point was to keep it as concise as possible to provide an overview of, you know, basic money terms, what you need to know at that age group so that when you are going to college or trade school or getting a job, whatever you're doing after high school, you're ready and you're not shocked when you, you know, get your first student loan payment or you get offers for signing up for 17 credit cards and you know, you get 3 free t-shirts, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there's a specific like chapter, but I do like that we included things that weren't necessarily personal finance, like choosing what college or choosing your path is what we called it, because 4-year college might not be for everyone and that's totally fine, but just kind of weighing the pros and cons of you know, each option, like trade school or 2-year university or community college or 4-year, and then, you know, finding a job and keeping it. Because that chapter was fun to write because I was thinking back to like my
job. Yeah, that was one of my favorites.
My first job and just things that like I went through, and you get, obviously there's nerves, but even when, you know, you're in jobs now, you see how people act and you're like, gosh, if you just had a better foundation, like
exactly
10 years ago, you might be not where you are. So just setting those foundations early is just so important. And like you said, sometimes kids don't want to listen to their parents. I mean, that's extremely common. So this can be something like, okay, just, you know, read this. And then if you want to talk about it, then you talk about it.
Type of thing. Yeah. I liked, one of my favorite parts as well was the tips about not just finding a job, but keeping a job.
Right.
And I feel like, you know, no offense to our generation and the younger generations, but it's getting more and more common of like, well, my boss was mean to me, or like,
poor me. Yeah.
You know, or well, I have to wear this certain kind of shirt. Like, I don't like their dress code, and, you know, or just silly stuff. And so it's like, you know, how to actually keep a job. Like, I feel like that is a tip that a lot of people don't talk about. Mm-hmm. And networking, I think networking was one of my favorite tips under the job part, because I think that a lot of, especially young people, don't realize how important networking is and how, like, you're always representing yourself. Mm-hmm. And even when you're 16 and you got your first job or however old you are, you know, you're going to put that job down as a reference later. And so you're constantly making connections and networking, and that needs to be taken seriously. And that's something we even are already like preaching to our girls. Like, when you're in dance class, you're representing the whole family, and you never know, you know, who, what if, you know, your dance teacher, like, is somebody who you need as a reference at some point, or the girls that you're in class with, maybe one day she's going to be your future boss. Like, you have no idea.
And you're you know, if you have that good impression and set the standards.
It's always networking. And I think that a lot of parents overlook that. And I feel like it's getting more and more common. So I like that you guys mentioned that. I loved, one of the specific examples I like remember it without even having to look in the book, about your idea about the flyers in babysitting.
That's literally what I did.
And just how you were giving out putting them in mailboxes or something, the flyers to get babysitting jobs. Like, that's a little hustler right there.
My mom told me, I walked around our neighborhood with her. I made flyers on the computer and like said a little bit about myself and my house phone number, because there was no cell phones.
Yeah.
And so they could call my house phone number. And I put them in, you know, mailboxes around my neighborhood. And that's how I got my first babysitting job. It was literally walking around putting flyers in mailboxes, and that's, you know, how it started. But now websites, you can go, I mean, you could still do stuff like that. You can, there's websites, we put some references on there and like how to find jobs or who to contact, and you can even ask like your, you know, school counselor or anyone really. But I mean, they're not going to find you, and that's the thing. People, these, you know, in this generation or younger, they expect the jobs to find them. And really, in life, even getting out of debt, like, if you don't make an effort, obviously, it's not going to, no one's going to just pay your student loans. Like, you're not going to sit on the couch and have your student loans get paid off. So, like, everything takes effort. And so, if you teach you know, the children and high school students and all that now, that like everything takes effort, like staying out of debt takes effort and getting a job takes effort, and you have to put, you know, you have to be motivated to do those things. Then hopefully the goal is to, you know, keep people out of debt and keep them in a, you know, financial stability and a good financial health in the future.
Right. Yeah. And something that I've noticed just kind of like going along with your flyers idea is, since we've been living in town, you know, I'll be honest, like I don't mow the grass. I don't do yard work. And so when Daniel is at work for his 3 weeks, you know, the grass gets tall, and right. I'll have people like random guys will stop with like a lawnmower in the back of their car, back of their truck or whatever. And they'll be like, hey, you need your grass mowed, or like you'll get a business card just taped to your front door. Yeah. And you're like, okay, for one, like I get the hint, I need to cut my grass. But for right. two, you're kind of like, okay, I respect your hustle. Like right. that's really smart. And you know, what would prevent a kid from doing that? Or even if they can't drive yet, like their parent driving them around for half an hour every day after school, sticking business cards on doors. Like right. it's just, that kind of stuff will still work. You know, it's not all internet based. And I like that you guys really added that into the book. But some of my other favorite parts were, I loved the simple example of the zero-based budget. It was really just really cut and dry, really simple. Right. And I like that it wasn't like all, you know, fancy. And I wish that I would have had this resourced for myself, because I remember asking my mom, I think it was like a senior in high school or so, and I was homeschooled. And so I spent a lot of time on my bed by myself doing my schoolwork in the quiet. And I remember like thinking about college and kind of setting like a goal of how much money I wanted to make. And so I went and like asked my mom, I'm like, so how much money do you think I could make like at this job and at that job? And so how much money would I need? And so like I made out a list of like, if I had this big of a house and if I had a pool and if I had, like I asked her all these things and I'm like, how much does the phone bill cost? How much does the TV bill cost? Like I had no idea.
Yeah.
And I wasn't really, you know, and I was pretty smart with my money even then. I was,
right.
I was doing mutual funds and savings account. Like my dad got me like set up with a mutual fund, and he was like, I think it was 15% in my mutual fund and 10% in savings. And that was back when $5.15 an hour was minimum wage.
Oh, yeah.
So I was making like $106. My paycheck was $106 every single week. 15% at the mutual fund, 10% to savings, and the rest went to gas and fast food. But I remember like asking my mom, like, what should I aspire to make? And, you know, if I want to have this kind of car, how much will it cost and all that stuff? And I just think like a book like this would have been really helpful, and maybe it would have helped that conversation, you know, like get started a little easier.
Yeah. It totally helps with parents too. Like if you want to have the conversation, but you're not exactly sure how to, without saying like, without either being condescending or without saying too much about, if you don't want to share your specific numbers with your kids for some reason, or if you're, maybe you're paying off debt and you don't know all the answers because you're struggling too, then this, you can kind of read, and it facilitates that, you know, conversation so that they do feel comfortable even going to you, because maybe your child has these questions but doesn't know how to ask, or maybe you want your child to read something specifically in this book. You can kind of be like, oh, did you read this chapter yet? What'd you think about how to create a budget? Or do you have any questions about our budget? Because in there we'll say, you know, like talk to your parents or guardian about, you know, a specific topic, or ask them how they do something, just so that that conversation does start to occur, so that there's always that, you know, people are so weird about finances and personal finance and sharing information. And there's kind of this like hesitation, like we talk about everything these days. I mean, some people talk about too much. When it comes to personal finance, it's like, oh my gosh, I can't talk about money because everyone's going to judge me because I either make too much or I make too little, or I save too little. So it kind of, I mean, we need to kind of break those barriers and just let the conversation flow, because if not, how are we going to fix these issues, and how are we going to prevent the next generation from making the same mistakes if we won't even, you know, talk about it? So
Yeah, exactly. And I like how you guys gave the examples of the different types of financial aid and the scholarships and the grants and the loans and the in-state and out-of-state tuition. And right. to me, I was the very first person on both sides of my family to go to college. And so the college world was, it was completely unknown to me and my parents. And we had no idea about any of that stuff. And so I remember like my dad like went and set up a meeting with somebody like at the admissions office or something yeah. like without me even knowing. And he brought yeah. home like big stack of papers and yeah. books and catalogs and like all this stuff. And he's just like, all right, we're going to like figure out that like none of us know what this college thing is about. And so, yeah, like if, especially, you know, like if the a parent is listening and they didn't go to college and they're like, you know, they have a kid who's approaching college age and they're terrified. They're like, I don't know anything yeah. about the college world. Like this would have been a really good resource in my case as well. Cause it was really helpful. And I actually even learned a few things that I didn't know. Cause we were so, I don't know. I hate to say stupid, but we were young. Yeah. And all I remember thinking was that student loans were the devil mm-hmm. and don't get a student loan. And I got through 4 years of college and I got no student loans, but so we were cash flowing, we're doing it in payments, we're cash flowing it. And we got married when I was like 20, barely 20. So most of my college years I was married. And so we were sharing money and all that good stuff. So that was really helpful. Yeah. Shout out Daniel Payne for my college. And he jokes all the time about that, how that's his degree and not mine. Cause he yeah. paid for it.
You can share it.
Exactly. But we ended up going into credit card debt for personal things because we were trying to cash flow our way through college. And right. then, so we were putting groceries on our credit card. And I'm like, credit card interest rate is way worse than right. student loan interest rate. I didn't know any better.
Yeah.
And my parents hadn't been to college. You know, Daniel didn't go to college. So I'm literally the only person, you right. know, that was in college at the time. And so I'm just like, I don't know what to do. But yeah, that would have been really helpful. And the other thing that I really liked was, I think it's, which will kind of lead us into like our next
yeah.
topic. And if you guys want to hear like my full review of this book, so there's even more, I wrote a blog.
Yeah.
I could ramble on and on, but I'll put it in the show notes for anybody who wants to read my full review of the book. But kind of leading into like our next question about what are the controversial topics, yeah. I think the kind of the stance you guys took on, well, the lack of stance, I think yeah. that this book is not pushing an agenda. And right. so with the different options between college, trade school, getting just going straight to work after high right. school, it's not pushing an agenda. I feel like, especially in the personal finance world, there's so much of an agenda for college, 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 college.
Right.
College is expensive and that's just not a reality for some people, or maybe it's just doesn't align. Yeah. It does just doesn't align with what they want to do. Like, you know, Daniel didn't go to college and he makes way more money than I could make right. with my degree. If I wasn't, you know, staying home, homeschooling,
right.
but if I was using my degree right now, he's still going to make probably twice as much
right.
without going to college.
Yeah. There's so many trades like that now. Like
exactly.
So many that, you know, like welding or different machinery and things like that, where even if you have a 2-year degree and that's it, or you just go to a trade school and get kind of certifications or stuff like that, like there's so many that you don't need a 4-year degree. I mean, obviously if you want to be like a lawyer, a doctor, something in business,
yeah.
you need that, but there's so many things, there's other options now. And yes, college is great. I mean, I'm getting my master's. And obviously like that's one option, but it's not the only option.
Exactly.
That's how the whole book we kind of tried to lay out is like, here's multiple options and pick what works best for you. Pick what works best for your family, you know, discuss with your parents, discuss with your guardian, discuss with people and figure out what works best in every, you know, aspect. So.
And I like just that whole, you know, it's kind of almost like a permission. I feel like so often we're just like, okay, I'm not alone in feeling this way. So it's okay if I'm not encouraging my kids to go to college. And not that I'm discouraging my kids from going to college, but we've even kind of switched from saying that not saving for college or saving for their future.
Right.
So, you know, what if they do want to open a business, and if we feel like they're mature enough at 18 or 20 years old, however old they are, that they want to start a business, then here you go. Here's your quote unquote college fund.
Right.
You know, that's all you're getting.
Right. Exactly.
And this is our investment in your future. And so, especially with Daniel's background, you know, he's just like, what if they don't want to go to college? What if it's not right for them?
Right.
And they want to do something else. Like, are you really going to discourage them from following their dreams or following their passion or making more money?
I mean, there's so many people who go to college and then do nothing with their degree.
Yeah.
And then they have all these student loans with no.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they're working at something that doesn't take a degree. And if they just did that right after high school, then they wouldn't have had all this debt to start out with. They'd be at least starting at, you know, zero ground
exactly.
level, starting in a ditch, you know, with all this debt. So I agree. I mean, college is obviously a great option for a lot of professions, but it is not the only option. And we wanted to kind of, for anyone reading this, because there are plenty of people out there who college isn't for them, and that's okay. This is,
yeah.
So this is, these are options, and, you know, there's pros and cons to each, and review that. And review it with your family and kind of come up with a plan together and see what works best. And if that's college, then, you know, great. And you figure out how you'll pay for it. And if it's not college, that's also great. And doesn't mean
yeah.
be successful.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like that you guys just, you kept it really black and white, and you kept it very not pushing an agenda whatsoever. Right. So I was very in favor of that. So my other kind of controversial part, which you probably already know what it is because it kind of caught a little bit of attention on social media, was your opinion on credit cards.
Right.
And which your blog in general is always like stirring it up in the finance, in the finance world because of your view on credit cards. So I want you to just share a little bit of like what your view is on credit cards and all that.
Yeah. So Shelly and I share the same view on credit cards, so that part was pretty easy to write. It wasn't a disagreement at all. We both use credit cards. We've both never had credit card debt, and we've always used them responsibly. That's not saying I am better than anyone else by any means. It is saying that I understand and understood at a young age what a credit card was and what it wasn't. So it was not one of my, you know, weak areas. Of course, I mean, I have weak areas of personal finance. I definitely don't save as much as I could and other things, but, and I had a car payment, you know, and all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
But credit cards is never my weak point. And I mean, I wrote a blog post about why I think people should have credit cards. I write about why I don't follow Dave Ramsey. And that's just because there are certain things I don't agree with him on. Credit cards is one of the main things. But for me, credit cards are a tool. So if you use credit cards for your benefit instead of letting them take advantage of you, they are an amazing tool. I've never paid interest ever on a credit card. I've only bought things and then paid it off. I've never missed a payment. I've never not paid my balance in full. I've never paid a cent of interest. So, and I've traveled for free all the time. I've gotten gift cards, you know, when I needed gifts or anything like that. So for me, they're a tool when used correctly. The book does not push credit cards. I will not tell someone to open a credit card. I will,
yeah.
If you think that it is, you know, you're scared that you're going to overspend or something, then don't get one. That's totally fine. I'm not opposed to cash. I just personally, I spend more with cash because I like forget.
Yeah, me too.
But credit cards for me work. So the whole point, this chapter in the book just explains what a credit card is, what it's not. And, you know, you don't need 17 credit cards. I never was tempted by those offers. I had one in college. When I went to college, my dad, which is in the book, my dad had me open one credit card, and he told me to use it for just gas or groceries and pay it off like right away. So that's what I did. And I didn't even question it. I only put that on it. I wasn't tempted. I honestly didn't think much about it. I was like, that's what credit cards are. The biggest thing is to understand credit cards are not money, and that, you know, we talk about that in the book for kids. You don't have any money, you know?
Yeah.
What you have is what's in your bank account and your checking or savings account. If your credit card limit, which I have some really high limits, if your credit card limit is $20,000,
you don't
have? You have zero.
Yeah, you don't have $20,000.
Yeah, so whatever you have in your bank is how much money you have. Credit card limits. I mean, I've never been anywhere near my credit card limit. So
yeah.
I have one that is $24,000.
My goodness.
And I have, I mean, total on my credit cards, I probably have almost $40,000, like, limits. Like, on, I have four credit cards right now for different purposes. But I kind of built that over time. Like, all through college, I had one. And then after college, since I had trusted myself, I opened one more for travel. And then after that, like a few years after that, I got one more. And then now I have four, which I'll be good with. They're all for different things. But
yeah,
it's controversial because I'm pro credit cards personally, but I'm not pro people using them if they don't understand what they are. So
yeah, but you're also not like, what I love about your opinion on credit cards, and we've talked about this a lot. Yeah. Personally, as well, is that you're not like a credit card thumper or whatever. You're not like, you should get a credit card. You should get a credit card. No. You're just like, hey, you know, this is what I do. This works for me.
Right.
You do you, whatever, you know, I'm just laying out the facts. And that's what I like about the book is it's like, this is what credit cards are. This is what they're not. And it's very like, it's not pushing an agenda again. Right. And so it really leaves it up to the parents, because there are a lot of people who are pro credit cards and there is a lot of people who are anti credit cards. Right. There's a lot of people who are in between.
Right.
And I'm kind of one of those people, you know, I'm not anti credit cards. Like, I'm not like, oh, Allie, we can't be friends because you have a credit card. but we burned ourselves so bad with credit cards, and our Discover card was over $12,000, and we had, I don't know, a few others, we had a Home Depot card, I think, and we put our wedding rings on credit, on a store card, and a couple other little ones here and there. Right. We had like maybe five or six, and we treated them like they were free money, and we weren't taught any better.
Right.
And so for me, and I've talked to Daniel about this, you know, we've been debt free for like 8 months now, and we've talked about like travel hacking and stuff. And you've shared with me like a lot of your experience with travel hacking, and I watch, you know, how you and Shelly go on your trips and I've shared this with Daniel, and I'm like, I mean, maybe like we could start travel hacking. And he was like, let's give it some more time. And we just kind of feel like we're in rehab for credit cards. Cause we're just like, I mean, we've been debt free and like for 8 months and like we've been on this journey for like 4 years, and we're just like, I don't really know if we trust ourselves yet. Yeah. But I love how you're just like, no judgment. This is in the, like, it's the real world. And some people use credit cards, and there are people in the debt free community who are using them and using them responsibly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when kids go to college, like for me, if it was my kid, I want them to know the facts, because they're also going to be tempted. If you tell, for example, if you go and tell your kid that credit cards are the devil, and if you open one, you know, the world's going to end. Guess what your kid's most likely going to do? Open a credit card.
Yeah. They're going to rebel and be like, oh, you know, mom and dad told me not to get a credit card, not to drink alcohol. And guess what? you know, or whatever.
Yeah. So if you tell your kid, most likely, you know, if you ingrain them over and over again, how bad credit cards are and they're the worst, and you don't explain why, you just say that they're bad, most likely your child is going to open a credit card at some point. So the whole point, I mean, all of the chapters, especially credit cards, is I want your child or anyone's child to know this is what they are. You know, they can be a tool. It isn't, and this is what they're not. It's not money. It is literally a way that you can pay for something and get rewards and pay it off. Also, for example, today my credit card was hacked, actually last night.
Yeah.
And someone charged a almost $9,000 flight on it. So But guess what? It didn't affect my bank account. And guess what? It was taken off right away. Literally, I called them within 5 minutes. It was resolved. And that's it. No stress, because it's not connected to any account. So for me, even from a fraud standpoint, credit cards are easier, because it doesn't affect my checking or savings. They can't drain any of my accounts. All I have to do is call, report it as fraud. I get a new card and they take the charge off. So even things like that have been easier for me, is I'm not as stressed about like my money. Cause I mean, hacking happens. I had my debit card hacked once, and I don't even use my debit card. They just have like a thing where they try numbers. I haven't used my debit card in forever. So they just found the number, and that was so annoying to deal with because I was out of my money for till it, you know, got replenished. And
yep.
For some people, if you don't have enough, that's like, could be your groceries for the
that,
week.
Yeah. That's happened to us with our debit cards. I mean, they're always really good about giving us our money back and refunding us for any overdraft fees, but it does take a couple of days.
Right.
And that's kind of terrifying when your husband's on the other side of the country and you're like, well, I was going to buy groceries, but for us, one of the hacks that we've found with debit cards is we do have two accounts now.
Yeah.
So and one of our debit cards got hacked. And so I was like, move everything to the other, you know, so I was like buying groceries with my bills account. And I even when that happened, I even went out to eat and I had to pay for my meal with my bills account. And I'm such a nerd that I have like written in Sharpie bills and spending on the debit cards.
Yeah.
And my waiter was like, ooh, spending the bills money. And I was like, no. Like, you don't understand. Like, I have a budgeting blog and like my debit card just got hacked. And he just looked at me like, I really don't care, lady. I was just like, no, don't judge me.
Yeah, it's not for my bill. So, I mean, it goes through it in the book, but pretty much we just wanted to provide a black and white for credit cards is if I'd rather, like if it was my child or even me in high school, I think knowing what it is and knowing what it's not will help your kid or anyone's kid to make the decision like, actually, I don't think I want one right now. Or, okay, I understand and maybe I'll try it and just put gas on it. And if I start doing, you know, spending too much, I'll cancel it. But I think for me, my dad teaching me what it was at a young age helped me stay out of credit card debt because when I like stores would be like, do you want to sign up for my card to get 20% off? I'm like, no, I'm not paying. I don't need another credit card. I mean, my parents, like I remember watching my mom in stores, like they would try to get her to open a card and she'd be like, my husband will kill me. And that's what her excuse was for every store, just to end the conversation. And so when I went to college and they'd be like, oh, you should open a card at whatever store. I'd be like, oh no, my dad will kill me. And just setting those, like watching those little things with my parents, it was kind of like the unspoken things I picked up on how like they acted with certain things. So when stores would be like, ooh, you can save $20 on your purchase right now, I'd be like, I'm good, thanks though. And then, so I don't know. Shelly and I both never struggled with credit cards. And so we think that it is possible to use them responsibly, but it doesn't mean you have to. I don't care if you ever use a credit card in your whole life. I will not be offended. We can obviously still be friends.
Like, yeah, I mean, you're not making a profit from the credit cards.
Right. So, I mean, credit cards make $0 off of me. They probably don't like me. But, you know, I'm not against people only using cash. It's just credit cards work for me. And they could work for other people. And even if they don't, it's just good to understand the facts about them versus saying credit cards are the devil. Like, never open one.
Don't speak of them.
Yeah, like never even talk about credit cards because then people get judgy if other people use them. You know?
Yeah.
With everything is like that. So.
Yeah, I just love that you just like at least start the conversation, at least keep it black and white. And then if the parents are against it, then they can say that. Or if the parents are pro credit cards, they can say that. It's not pushing an agenda. Yeah. So I just love that because I think a lot of personal finance people, just different people. There's sometimes there's such, not anybody specifically, but like, I feel like sometimes there is such a, like an underlying judgment kind of tone. And I try really hard in everything that I do to be like, you know, you have to do what is best for your family. And a lot of people probably disagree with some of the things that we do on our budget. And I'm like, so, I mean, this works for us.
Exactly.
And, you know, people, one of the things I always go back to is there's a lot of people who probably think we're crazy because of how much we spend on dance class. And we just put the third one in dance class and it's $147 a month now.
Yeah.
Plus costumes, plus shoes, plus on and on and on. And, you know, a lot of people would be like, well, and we were doing that, we were getting out of debt. And people, some people might have been like, well, why don't you just get them out? But you've got to do what works best for you, your family, your kids, whatever, your goals. So I just like that we kind of are on that same terms of like, you do you.
Right.
These are the facts.
Yeah. We'll share what's best for us and what we've learned, but at the end of the day, I can't make anyone's personal finance decisions for them. And nor do I want to. Kind of both our goals is to equip people with the information and tools, and then they make the decisions, because at the end of the day, you can have 50 financial advisors and listen to 7 million, financial gurus, but it's still your money, and you should want to know where it's going, who's managing it, how you're spending it, instead of just trusting that someone knows better than you, because you can know just as much as everyone else,
Exactly.
Put the time in it, so.
Exactly. So I am really excited for the next books. So share a little bit about what's coming next.
Yeah. So like I said, this is the first of three. So the second book, we actually just started kind of planning out and writing, that will be geared towards college students or, the next 4 years kind of after college. So a lot of the topics will be similar but have different information. So we'll still have like a budgeting chapter, but the budget information will be geared towards someone in college or trade school or whatever they're doing after high school.
Right.
And then a little bit more into finding a job and internships, some frugal, college hacks on where to live maybe in college or how to save money on food and stuff like that. So that's kind of our college book. We'll still hit some of the basics, like an overview of credit cards, because that's really where people, I think, get in their most credit card debt is like those years, because you get those stores or, people on campus being like, you can get a free gift card or a free t-shirt if you sign up. So kind of just reiterating, don't do that.
And your parents aren't looking over your shoulder every five minutes. So.
So just kind of hitting some recaps of the other books, but geared towards that age group. And then the third book is lessons we wish you learned in our 20s, or lessons you need to learn in your 20s, because we're both still in our 20s.
Right.
But that kind of hits after college or after, 21 or whenever you graduate, and more geared toward even saving to buy your first house or buying a car or retirement, like 401k, Roth IRA, and then budgeting for life expenses, things that you don't think of after college. Because that's when health insurance, things like that, where you're like on your own now and you're like, I remember when I had surgery on my feet. And right after that is when I had my own health insurance, like was totally cut off, and I had to get physical therapy and I had to pay for it. And I was like, what?
Wait, you have to pay for this?
I was like, what do you mean I get this bill? Like, yeah, insurance covered part of it, but like I still had to pay the rest. And so just kind of obviously budgeting again, but for different things, and the importance of saving as young as you can possibly save for really everything. So those are the three books. So high school, college, and 20s that's kind of the progression. And then hit kind of the age group that we're trying to hit. And then we'll see after that.
So I'm going to link in the show notes where everyone can find your book, and it's on Amazon. It's available for Amazon Prime, which is how I ordered it. You guys were sweet enough to send me a free copy, and then I ordered another one so I could do a giveaway. And it's Amazon Prime compatible.
Kindle and, paperback, but paperback I always just like better because like we have charts and things in there, which you can obviously see on Kindle, but paperback, just there's just nothing like holding.
Yeah, I'm just old fashioned.
Yeah, and it's thin, it's not that long, and you can just stick it somewhere. It has resources. It's easier, I think, to make someone read it instead of like, read it on your Kindle, and they're like, oh, okay, sure,
Yeah, exactly.
Facebook, go through it,
Yeah. So I'll link to that in the show notes, and you guys should totally check it out. Like we said, it's a super cheap little book, and it's, it's really a really easy, quick read, and the chapters are short and actionable and all those good things. So where can everyone keep up with you?
Yeah. So I have my Instagram is financially focused Samuel Addick because it's Financial Alley, like my name.
I know. And I remember like before I really knew you and I came across you and I was like, I literally was like, oh my gosh, Daniel, this listen to what this girl's Instagram handle is. I was like, this is pretty clever.
Shelly's actually the one that came up with it. So
it's pretty clever.
Shelly, I know she'll listen to this because she listens to all your podcasts. But yeah, she actually came up with the name. So that's my Instagram, and then my blog is also financiallyfocused.com. And then we have a Facebook group, Millennial Money Moves, that we post, I mean, anyone can post articles or just kind of a Facebook community type of thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, then that's I'm pretty, Instagram I'd say I'm more active on than
Facebook, yeah,
just because I'm on it. I don't post every day, but I'm. I'm there every day. This past like 2 weeks has been just a mess, so I haven't been as active then. But our book, we have a link to it on my blog too, just more information about the chapters and all that. But your review goes through all of that too. So if you're interested, definitely check out Sammy's review because it's very thorough. I love it.
Thank you. So I'll link to like where everyone can find you and all of that and keep up with you on Instagram and, you know, all that good stuff. So, all right. Well, thank you so much for being the first guest on the podcast.
I'm so honored. This is like the most amazing accomplishment, more than writing this book.
You know, mostly because I knew that I wouldn't be that nervous to interview you.
Well, we chatted for a good, like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and we're always like, we have our little Power Sheets mastermind group with the other Sammy and Kim. And so the four of us are like, we have our little mastermind for our Power Sheets. And so we're always like talking on video chat and stuff. So I'm like, okay, this won't be awkward because, you know, we already know each other.
Yeah.
So
it's almost been a year, I feel like.
Yeah, we started our group at the beginning of the beginning, like prepping. So December.
Yeah, but that's when we got all of it. But I feel like we chatted for
Before then. And then we talked Sammy and Kim into buying the Power Sheets so they could be in the group with us.
Yeah, if you're listening and don't have Power Sheets, then
they're about to come out. To come out.
So make sure you put in your budget.
Yes. Okay. So we're going to go. And thank you guys so much for listening. Again, I'll put all of the links to everything we talked about in the show notes. And we will talk to you guys next time. Bye, guys. Thanks again for listening to this episode. Don't forget to check out the show notes for this episode where you can find the links to Allie's co-written book, Not Another Money Statistic, Lessons We Wish We Would Have Learned in High School. And you can find all of Allie's social media links as well as my book review for Allie's book. And don't forget that you can also check out all of the podcast show notes at asunnysideuplife.com/podcast. And you guys, while you are over there, don't forget to leave me a review on the podcast and hit subscribe and share with your friends and family on social media. That is what is going to help this podcast grow. You guys have been showing me so much love and I am so appreciative of you guys. Thanks again, guys.